What a great feeling it is to be back on the air with T-Dubs out in Cali, Dougie Fresh across the river in Jersey, Havlicek with the most beautiful. Is that a pool behind you, Havlicek?
Yeah, it's still nice here in Florida.
I feel so badly for you. Poor thing.
It's rough.
And a new addition. Welcome to the show, Josh Burton.
Yes.
From Virginia, from the hills in Virginia, from the mountains.
Yes, yes.
Awesome. John Denver wrote a song about him, I think. West Virginia.
Who wrote a song about that shirt, Dougie?
Oh, this shirt? It's your guy, John Schick. That's and cool. His wife, and of course, our biggest fan, the biggest UVA fan, Anna, they sent to me.
I need that shirt. That shirt is
so cool.
Hey, just send them your size. It might pop up on your doorstep. That's how it happened for me.
Going down, it probably will. That is such an awesome shirt. Anyway, we are so happy to all be back on at the reunion. Guys, we haven't spoken in quite some time. Well, Dougie and I talked a little bit. T-Dubs a little bit. Guys, I haven't seen you talk to you.
Yeah, man. It's good to be back. Happy to see everybody. Everybody looks great. Doug's shirt is giving me motion sickness, but other than that, I feel pretty good.
Have you ever come back?
Yeah, that sounds like a have problem, not a me problem. He made me watch Shark Week for 4 years in a row, 24 hours a day, so that's on him.
Now this, right. Fresh, this is this comment from WFSU. First question, does Carolina suck or does Carolina suck?
I'd go with the latter. Carolina does suck.
No, for sure. And their refs, too.
Have or do they suck?
Man, you know what? I just looked at the preseason poll. The pollsters don't think they suck, but we do.
Why do they suck? Are we going to be objective or are we going to be taking the UVA perspective?
No, they're going to be good. They got a great young, great young additions. I think they have, like us, a lot of new faces, and they've got Armando Bacot, who actually was a first year when Ralph played. So he's still here, looking as crazy as ever, but he's a pretty good player.
And RJ Davis.
Yep.
They've got some scoring punches in their back.
No, they have your guy Cadeau, though. I want to see how Cadeau does the first year. I think he's real. Cadeau?
Elliot Cadeau?
Elliot, I think he's really ready for college basketball.
One of the first guys to sign a huge NIL contract, right, who I coached a little bit a couple years ago. And
he's
been the best eighth grader I've ever seen. He was tremendous.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was he, 5'3" then?
No, he was like 5'9", but he was like 16 in the eighth grade. Literally.
Hav was 14 and a half in eighth grade.
No, I was my red shirt got me. I was older than you guys because the red shirt, but
no, so I'm very curious to see Cadeau and RJ Davis.
Yeah, I am too. I really am too.
Absolutely. But so much exciting news just in college basketball in the ACC and with UVA. So much to talk about. We'll get to this later, but the whole realignment, like, blowing my mind.
I don't want to talk. It makes me like want to quit. I don't like any of that. If you guys want to go with that, go.
Well, down the road we will. If we get to it tonight, great. If we get to it next
year. You mean the conference stuff.
Well, we got to talk about it at some point. Well, that is conference now.
Yeah. No, you're right. I don't like – I just – ACC for me is the greatest ever. So
let's talk about it because it's going to impact UVA on some level, right? Can you imagine?
No, I know.
You got to fly to California to play a basketball game in your conference.
Great for me.
I was going to –
On a Wednesday?
Did you have something to do with this?
Hey man, I would love to take credit, but no, I was actually cheering for it just for selfishly. Two games out west every once in a while. That's
true.
For once, I don't have to travel 3,000 miles. You know, it's like amazing.
No, I know. So I'm glad for you two dubs. And the other California. There's a lot of California Hoos.
Yeah, no, there is, definitely.
Right? So it's great that you really have to the station out there that can go see live game. And thank you for putting together a great rundown for tonight's show. Right? Awesome job. If we need to talk about this show, we're going to have our locker room access pregame show 30 minutes before every game, halftime show, and postgame show. Right? And we'll have some great guests on. Right? And then we also have our locker room access podcast. We're going to have some great guests. Jumped into some old guys recently. Mel Kennedy, who's doing some in my league, Mel is bigger than ever, bigger than ever, smiling more than ever. He's great. Thank you. It's your guy, Dougie. It's all of our guys.
I couldn't see it. Who was it?
Dragon.
What's up, boy? Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
We're back.
We're gonna have a couple of good guests on for the podcast. We're hopefully gonna do at least one or two live shows this year again, T-Dubs.
Yeah, that's the goal.
Last year. And maybe, however we get it done, we'll get Habs to come up and join us.
Yes. Hey, they play against Florida, November 10th. You guys are welcome down here.
Well, no, it's in Charlotte.
That's in Charlotte, yeah.
Oh, forget it. All right.
Hav can just do his triathlon there. Hav will ride his bike to the ocean, swim up, and then run the rest of the way to Charlotte. It's like, that's a triathlon for Hav.
P-Dragon's welcome to join anytime.
Always.
Jazz Nut. So Jazz Nut's our Air Force guy. He's been in Germany. He's coming back to the U.S. I'm not sure if he's here. It might be 3 a.m. for him, by the way.
No,
he's also a LRA guru.
I love it.
Dougie representing the forum. We're going to have some great questions on that Dougie and Josh and T-Dubs, I guess, we're going to manage tonight. But before we get to all of that, let's take a couple minutes to talk about someone who will not be with us this year. A little heart-wrenching, very sad. But he's with us, will always be with us. One of our founding members. We're going to miss him this year. I want to dedicate the season to him. And certainly he'll be missed because comic relief, his dedication and commitment to UVA sports, Tony Bennett, who we all will miss dearly this year.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you haven't read the UVA magazine, I think they did a little tribute to him as well, which the alumni magazine was great. Our hearts go out to him and his family. It's just incredible. What he did for the community, you know, like watching Twitter when that happened. I mean, yeah. I was incredibly sad, but like really touched at how much of an impact he had on our little community. It was really like strangely like weird to see how that was. But yeah, man, we're gonna miss him. He's an incredible part of our family.
Right. Yeah, I know we all have like recollections of Phony, and I never met him in person. And I don't know if I've ever been, you know, moved as much from someone I never met in person. And that's just a function of having a family and not living there. But he always impressed me. Obviously, he was a stand-up comedian and a photographer. He had a real artsy side, but he knew basketball. And I think that's what always kind of struck me was he was able to inject, you know, his sense of humor into our podcast, but he also could contribute on the basketball side, and he'll be missed. And, you know, Rachel and his daughter, I hope they're doing well and we're with you and think about you guys often.
No doubt. Special guy. If I talk about it, I'll get choked up. So, you know, on this podcast, we all became friends and laughed with each other and talked a lot of shit about sports. Ding.
There it is. First one of the year.
Dougie, I got two guys.
Yes.
Hey, Marky's amphibious.
Yep.
He can go left or right.
Yeah, anyway, again, want to recognize Phony for being such a
great 100%.
And we'll be missed, and we'll carry his legacy, and he'll always be with us every show we're on and throughout the season, this year and future.
Awesome.
We do have quite a season this year. Habs, you like UVA season. You like our chances. You like this team, and you think we're in a good spot.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of people that put, you know, that analyze when we get the schedule and look at it, and, you know, it looks good right now, but it's also looked good in the past. And then you take a loss to like a Navy or a JMU, and all of a sudden it doesn't look good. So, you know, I'm happy that the pundits are favorable for us, but I'm going to kind of reserve comment. If it works out, it's great. If it doesn't, it's just a schedule. And look, we got to play a bunch of really good teams. We can ease into it, and I think that was by design with all the new faces. So I'm looking forward to easing into kind of February, hopefully. And then it ramps up, and we've got some tough games in February and March. But up until then, it's favorable in terms of us being at home.
I'm very impressed you didn't get interrupted when Dougie went to the jersey. He's got the
best one. I've been working out. Well, you guys started talking about basketball, so I actually have a jersey. And I may or may not be wearing the number of Dante Harris, our transfer from Georgetown. I'm not trying to interject. Marky, keep it going, but that's what I'm wearing.
Dougie, how old are you?
I'll be 53 in a month.
Great, you can buy that and sell it. Congratulations. It's awesome.
I'm trying to be like you. I appreciate it.
You're doing way better than I am, Dougie. So,
nope.
Oh, I got a little monster who's playing.
Come on down. Dougie, no leg shots. Just keep it on the upper body for you.
Oh, you have. Ain't nothing changed, Hav. Ain't nothing changed.
Hey, you're preaching to the choir here.
I just did 500 push-ups before this, just for the shirt, but it is Dante Harris. I have the roster in front of me.
I mean, if we want to jump into, what are we doing first? Schedule, or are we doing the players?
Well, anybody have any thoughts on schedule besides me? I think, you know, it looks good until you lose a game against a team you're not supposed to lose against. And then you're like, oh, God, we didn't play enough hard teams. We didn't get those quad one wins. Look, we're going to play a bunch of games against good teams. So let's handle our business.
I mean, the big ones are like Florida, obviously, second game. We got Florida and Charlotte. And then I don't want to skip over, you know, we got North Carolina A&T, Texas Southern, but then Wisconsin in the Fort Myers tip-off, yep. And then potentially SMU or West Virginia. And then we have Texas A&M in the ACC. Those are big games. I mean, if we're not careful.
Did we just pass over our opener against Tarleton State?
Yeah,
we had 17 foreign players, one from Anchorage, Alaska.
Yeah, Tarleton State.
That's exciting.
Tevin Jones transferred there at one point, played there for a little bit.
Exactly. Let's make the cut. And who's the coach there for anybody that knows? Josh Kelly knows. Gillespie. That's right.
Yeah. So yeah, you don't want to overlook anyone, you know. And Josh, you were there for the Pepsi Blue White scrimmage. You wrote a recap, which is great. Everyone should go check it out. But can you give us a quick synopsis of what you thought? What happened during that game?
Yeah. So, big takeaways, I guess. You know, I think it's been combed over a lot, but Leon played exceptionally well. Leon Bond seemed pretty well. I mean, at least going to be in the rotation from what I seem to see. I thought that Andrew Rohde, I believe I'm saying it right, Rohde, played a pretty good game. You know, shots weren't really falling for him, but he looked completely under control, looked good with the ball. You kind of see, you know, like the basketball IQ, I guess the best way to put it. Yep. There weren't really, there's nothing he was doing that I was like, wait a minute, what's he trying to do here? Like everything he was doing kind of made sense. Reese is just so under control. I mean, that year coming back is kind of, to me, it looks like on the same level like Kihei was last year, right? Where it just seems like everything he's doing is about two steps ahead of everybody else. And then from there, I mean, a couple of the young guys, you know, they looked really good defensively. I mean, Buchanan more than held his own. And, you know, he came out, he was guarding Groves out on the three-point line. That was pretty solid. Precious guy, Elijah, made a heck of a play on a three-point shot, getting all the way out there to block it. I mean, that was crazy athleticism there.
Get used to that.
Yeah, I thought the team looked good, though. I mean, you know, shots weren't really falling, but like Coach Bennett said before it started, if anybody might have missed it, they had a little practice before that. And they also did a three-point shooting contest before the actual scrimmage started. So it was kind of one of those, you know, take what you see with a grain of salt, and let's just see how it goes. I'm kind of with Hav. I like how the schedule sets up. I think it's kind of good where they get to play Florida in the first week. I brought a couple of notes in. Florida brought in four pretty decent mid-major-ish type transfers. You know, they've got guys from they got a guy coming in from Iona, a guy from UC Riverside. You know, a couple guys that last year hitting close to 40% from three on multiple attempts. So I think it's kind of good to catch them early before they really get gelled in. That could be a win that looks a lot better as the season gets on, I think.
Josh, the guard from UC Riverside may not be eligible for that game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my middle son, Kobe, went to UC Riverside with him. They're really good friends. He is a phenomenal player.
He's really?
They're not a great shooter, but he may not be eligible.
Thanks. Gotcha. Okay.
And two of the, you know where the coaching where it came from, guys?
Yes.
San Fran.
Yes. Todd Golden. He pulled the upset against us in the COVID year, if you want to call it that.
Yep.
When the team events all got canceled, the multi-teams, and we kind of played a random one that was set up out of nowhere.
And they are both under the study of Kyle Smith, who was at Columbia years ago, now at Washington State, right? Which is very interesting. Another guy, Carly Hartman, who was on the Oklahoma staff, who we beat in the Sweet 16 in South Carolina.
Yeah, you did.
Yep. But that's going to be a good group. That college team will be good. We'll be athletic. We'll be good. I'm sorry, Josh, if you want to continue, and I have a question.
Oh, yeah. What's that? I'm sorry, say again.
Nah, push through, Mark. Let's go. Keep going.
What three games, and I want to ask everybody really quickly, what 3 to 4 games are you circling, or what 3 to 4 games are you circling on your calendar?
Have?
Oh, okay, to me. So obviously, the Duke game is at the end of the year. That's the big one. But I love Wisconsin's been a really good program in Florida. I think we'll know, you know, we've got Florida, then Wisconsin, then Texas A&M, and then don't sleep on Memphis. Like those four, I want to see how we do. There's less familiarity there. Yeah. We don't know the sets they run as well. If we play well against them, then I'm going to feel really good.
Yep. In Memphis, is that where Mikey Williams was supposed to go?
Yes.
Yeah, he's not cleared yet, right?
I don't know if he'll ever be cleared. I don't know if he'll ever.
Yeah, it's not sounding good.
He may end up in jail.
I'm not sure if it matters if he plays or not, but it's a story, right?
It'll matter if he catches the ball yet. And Syracuse, right? Syracuse, Saturday, December 2nd. They're loaded. They're going to be good. They're going to have a lot of talent.
That's at home, right?
Yep. That's an early ACC game.
early. Yeah. First one. It always is. We always play Q's early. Remember?
I actually kind of like it because usually Q's is weaker and early in the season, and we're generally a little stronger. So we have a good showing in that early game.
You're going to be much improved. Do they play zone or man this year, Dougie?
Man. Red Autry, my guy. Adrian's going to play a lot of man. He's probably been sitting over there on the sideline like, can we just go play man-to-man and, like, be a modern team, you know?
For the last several years.
For sure. For sure.
And do they run an offense this year?
No, no chance. I just go. Give it to Judah Mintz and say, just go.
Yeah, let's not get crazy here.
Yeah, exactly. You can't have your cake and eat it too, Marky. You just ate the cake. You can't have it back.
It's not just Judah Mintz this year.
Honestly, I don't know. I don't know these things.
Well, don't forget they have two Charlottesville kids.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. The big stab kid.
Yeah, yeah. Josh, you know those guys, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yep. Two stab kids, that's right.
That's right. Wow, that's crazy.
They're bringing some other guys. They got a lot of NIL money over there.
Shit. They always did. Don't worry about that.
Well, but no, their main NIL contributor severed ties. He's no longer a supporter.
Yeah.
I'm talking about back in our time, they always had NIL guys.
Are you telling me that Pearl Washington got paid to go to Syracuse?
I hope so. I sincerely hope he did. You think he likes snow?
Yeah, exactly. Coming from New York City, absolutely.
Right.
He wants to diversify his whole rest of
the world. He probably had those good Timberland boots back then, right? Like, I could deal with the snow. All good.
One of the first absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's an incredibly good schedule. Tough schedule. It is good. It should be an exciting team. I'm looking forward to this team. Last year, I thought this team was pretty good. I think this team has got a lot of exciting players. Can you talk to us about the new players?
Wait, well, I missed that.
We're having some audio issues with you, I think. So maybe move your mic closer or something, but we're getting about every third word, and I'm sure viewers are too.
Who is that directed at, half me or Dougie?
To you, Mark.
Yeah, your signal. I don't know if it's your signal. It seems a little weak at the moment.
Yeah.
Okay. If we want to jump in fresh, you want to go down the list of the newcomers?
Oh yeah, I can do it right now. So number zero on your roster, Blake Buchanan, coming in from Idaho. I forgot the town. He's a big guy. The early thing was, you know, he has a volleyball background, which I kind of like in a weird way for a basketball guy. And we heard early in the season, they were kind of like, wait, why do we have this guy here? And then, I'm sorry, early in the preseason. And then a couple months in, he is like outperforming and impressing everybody. Everybody heard Reese talk about him at the ACC thing, the whole thing. I guess Dante Harris, not really a newcomer, but semi-newcomer, but a lot of hype around him. A lot of let's see what happens with him. It's kind of Kihei Clark 2.0, maybe. I think Tony loves him. I think he brings a lot to the defensive side. I was at a practice last year, and he stood out in terms of absolute speed. But he sometimes runs past the ball that he's dribbling, and it's like almost too fast.
Yeah.
Number four is Rhodey. He's coming from Western Canada, where he played college basketball. What's the school called? St. Andrews?
St. Thomas.
St. Thomas. I was making a joke. Bad joke. Well, we've all heard great offensive skills. Ding, ding, ding. Not always great for Virginia. I think he's a sneaky 6'6". Point guard, wing guard, can probably play three positions. Can he guard? Let's see. And I've heard through practice he started out really, really good, and he hit a wall. And the wall's very – have you know this.
Yeah.
When you go really high, you hit walls, and it's not abnormal. So I get that. And I think if he was really good early, that forebodes good things. Talking about Stab, we have the walk-on, the preferred walk-on, Desmond Roberts, number 5. Freak athlete. He could play field hockey, lacrosse, basketball, baseball, football. We're lucky to have him, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's a Malachi-type kid that ends up going to NC State and playing defensive back and plays in the NFL, that type thing. Number 12 is Elijah Gertrude from Jersey City, Hudson Catholic Regional High School. Do I say any more about him or no?
Well, Fred, you saw him play a lot in high school, so talk about
that. Yeah, I saw him play. There's no secret. I spent the whole summer. I'm going to tell you, like I explained to everybody, I'm not a Virginia basketball recruiter. I went to a game. It was a 45-second bike ride from my apartment. I took my kids, and I watched the kid. I just liked him. I mean, forget basketball. He could dunk, and he could shoot, and he could dribble, and he's a good guy. I just like the guy and his demeanor and the whole thing. And that's what's attractive, right? It makes you want to come back. So I got my shirts out. I got my Virginia shirts out. And I talked to Jason Williford. And I'm like, we like this guy. And I think Eli made a great choice. And he's at Virginia. It's going to change his life in a lot of ways. His parents are great people. They're doing everything right. So I love that. I could talk all day about Elijah. We'll do a different podcast. Number 21 is Anthony Robinson, which I think might end up being Virginia's best find ever. Wow. I think he was committed to South Florida. And I don't know if he's 6'9", 6'10", 6'11", 7 foot, but he's not awkward. He's got hands and he's doing the right things. Whatever. I'm not sure we're able to talk about red shirts. Everyone said he's going to red shirt. I'm not sure it's official or not, whatever, whether he does or doesn't. I think between Anthony Robinson and Blake Buchanan, number 21 and number 0, we have a front court of a lifetime. Front court is the front court, the big guys, right? Yeah. So, and a guy we all love is Christian Bliss, not to be forgotten, number 30. He's redshirting, but he came into redshirt, so he's not really a redshirt. He reclassed the whole thing. He basically gave up his prep season. Marky, me, you, and TW all met him that time at the So that he had the Ty Jerome connection. People talk about him and Ty. Hey man, it's not so far off. Like big point guards, confident dudes, good looking Marky, great smiles. If Ty ever smiles, the whole thing. And then we have my big question mark is Jacob Groves. He played at Washington and Oklahoma. Am I right?
Eastern Washington.
Yeah, he's number 34. And he seems to be the surprise. He does not give you the eye test of a 6'9", white, goofy-looking guy. Like, let's be honest, right? But I've heard he can shoot it. Yeah. And – you know, these guys surprise you. So I'm reading, by the way, I wrote down the roster for the record, and I know who I know. It's an enormous influx of players and question marks. For me, everybody's a question mark except for Elijah because I saw him very closely.
Yeah.
And I know what, you know, he can, will be.
Tony Bennett is not known as a guy who plays 9, 10, 11 guys.
Oh man!
This year.
Yeah. Wait, you had what was the final part of the question?
T-Dub, who plays this year? Who's in the rotation?
Yeah.
I mean, he relies. I mean, let's do the returners really quick. The obvious one, Reese Beekman, coming back, doing you know the NBA draft combine thing. And deciding to come back huge. That's a big one for us. He's the number one guy. He is the guy. This is his team. This is his year. Kihei's not here. This is Reese's team this year. And we've got Isaac McNeely. We're expecting a jump from him, right? Like last year, he's good, solid. you know, incredible first year, but we're expecting big things from IMAC this year. And then Ryan Dunn is another one that I think people have him in the NBA lottery, you know, like crazy projections on
crazy
his return and what he's going to bring to the table. So those are probably the biggest three that we have coming back. And then, you know, Hav's favorite guy, Tane Murray, obviously another one that has significant minutes. And then Leon Bond coming in. He was redshirted last year, but we also expect things from him. So my guess on rotation-wise, we're going to leave. I mean, TB always relies on experience first. It's rare for him to go first year getting a ton of minutes. So, you know, I'm assuming, you know, the guys that have a lot of experience in the pack line and have been here are going to get more minutes. But of course, Dante, you know, Harris, obviously he's, you know, was here last year and practiced and got a ton of experience. I expect him to play. I've heard great things about Andrew Rohde. We'll see. And Blake Buchanan seems like, you know, he's the highest rated player out of the class. I imagine he's going to get a good run and, you know, we'll see. Fresh has really hyped Elijah, so I'm expecting John Morant, which probably is unfair to him, but like I'm excited to see him play. Like he seems like he's gonna come in here and really really make a big difference. But we'll see. Like that's kind of where it is. Like let's see who steps up. But my guess is gonna be the Reese show with IMAC kind of. Being the second fiddle to that, but that like we're gonna go as Reese goes is my guess, but we'll see. Like, what are your thoughts, Mark?
Have T-Dubs just named 9 guys? Since and they all and there's probably more guys, right? That can play out of 9, which rare that TB plays 9 guys, right? Now one of those guys may redshirt, maybe 2 of those guys redshirt. I don't know. Is there someone else, or who do you expect to be outside? We know it's going to be Reese. We know it's going to be IMAC, right? Those 2 guys are for sure.
And Ryan Dunn.
And we know it's going to be Ryan Dunn. Those 3 guys are going to get burned. It sounds like Leon Bond is playing well. And I agree with you, Doug. Is how do you keep Blake Buchanan? And then you've got the first years to worry about who say, I'm not going to get playing time. What do you mean I'm not going to get playing time? Right? And, of course, then there's your guy, Tane. What do you expect so far?
Yeah, Jordan Miner, another one.
Yeah, Miner, we haven't talked about him. You know, I'm interested in a couple things. I think there's going to be a big adjustment for anyone who is coming from a mid-major to the ACC. So Rohde's going to have to adjust. Jordan Miner could be like a stunt double for Jaden Gardner, it sounds like, but maybe a little bit less offensively talented. But he's a Massachusetts guy, so I have love for him. But you know what? You're 6'8". There's bigger guys here than there were at Merrimack. There's better players, Rohde, than there were at St. Thomas. Oklahoma, great program. I don't think Tony is going to change his stripes that much. I just don't. I don't think we are going to run. I think we'll struggle. We're still going to go on our like long scoring droughts where we don't get any easy buckets. You know, if you guys have been watching, I've been harping on that for years. We don't get easy buckets. We don't get buckets in transition. I would be really surprised if he changed his philosophy, especially with so many new faces. I think he might change it if everybody was back and he kind of loosened the reins. But I don't expect, you know, 8 or 9 guys to play. I think we're going to see a 7-man rotation, maybe 8 with spot duty. I love Tane. He's been the odd man looking in, odd man out, whatever you want to say. I don't expect that to change that much. But again, here's another thing we have to consider, and we've been really really lucky with injuries for a long time. I know Reese got a little bit hurt. Hey, someone gets hurt, it's nice to have that luxury of a bunch of guys who can play. But it's just like a big potpourri of like wing players right now, and Reese. That's kind of how I see it as our strengths. And I wanted to use potpourri just for Doug because he loves that word. And
I do.
It's a word
that smells good somehow. I'm not sure why it smells good to me.
We have a lot of talented wings, right? Backcourt looks like there's a lot of guys that could play. Front court, they're young. You know, last year we had Poppy and we had Caden and we had Vanderplas. And this year it's very different. So I think we should all reserve judgment without having the benefit of looking into practice, watching, observing. You know, we had one sort of half-assed blue-white scrimmage. Not a lot to be drawn from that. So we'll see. But my main thing, Tony.
Take that half.
Can you hear me?
One dedicated just for Dougie, by the way. The other one.
No, I'm sorry. You got dinged. Take that.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
Did I swear?
Yeah.
Sorry, Mom. I told her I wouldn't. Oh, oh for one.
So I got a question I'm going to throw this to Dougie or Josh. You know, we probably would all agree, maybe I shouldn't assume, that McNeely's is probably the odds on favor to be to lead us in 3-point shooting. And we know a large portion of the offense comes from 3-point shooting under Bennett. Who's going to be second and third in 3-point shooting for us this year?
Ooh, second. By the way, I apologize for getting Jordan Minor. There's so many, and I'm reading off of – I wrote it down. Jordan Minor. Jordan Minor is not going to be second. second will be Groves.
Really?
All right.
Yep. He might be first, by the way. No, he won't be first. Sorry. Isaac, Groves. I'm going to say Reese.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Yeah, I was.
I'd like to say Tane, but I think minutes will dictate otherwise, and I think it's going to be Reese.
What about
just
Rhodey?
Number shots made.
Threes taken or threes made?
Threes made, right? It's got to be made. It doesn't count if you don't make them.
It's going to be similar.
Yeah. They're
going to go neck and neck.
We hope so.
Absolutely. I'm gonna go IMAC, Reese, and then Rhodey. Those are my top three.
IMAC, Reese, Rhodey. You think all right.
Reese getting some love, 3-point shooting love. Jordan, who you got? Joshua, who you got?
Oh, you're good. I would go IMAC first. I'd say Grove second because I think that's kind of a specialty role for him. So I think he'll just volume alone, he'll be up there. And then I would say Rhodey. Reese's shot looks a lot better, but I think he's going to do so much initiating the offense that it just makes more sense for Rhodey to get the shots.
All right, whatever, Josh. You're kicked off. That was fun, man. Goodbye.
You had a good run, Josh. You had a great run. It's been great working with you. What's that?
What do you have, Habs?
Yeah, so I don't have Reese in my top three. I think IMAC, I think Rhodey and Groves. I think they're going to be volume shooters. That's what they were brought in to do. That's what they'll do at a higher frequency. And, you know, until I see Reese shoots best when the clock is running down, he doesn't think. You know, he's made some big shots, Duke and in the ACC tournament, and I think it was Syracuse.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I don't believe that you can. I think you can always improve as a shooter, but you can't be a natural shooter. And I don't think he is one. So I don't have him in my top three. But let's hope.
Hav is dropping knowledge. I agree.
Dougie, you can't agree and disagree.
No, I'm staying with my list, but Hav just dropped a little bit of. It's very tough to become. We've talked about this, so.
All right, well, big what's up to my man DB, Daniil Bryant. Thanks for checking in. Haven't seen JC, Jim Clifton yet. Waiting for her to check in.
Oh, man, where's JC at?
And then we just got somebody pointed out, I'm sorry, apologize, I didn't get the name. If Rhodey's not second or third, thanks, WFS, we got problems. But we don't even know if Rhodey's going to play, right? We don't know how much. Habs always has a great point. You're coming from a mid-major.
Right.
ACC.
I don't even know if it's a mid-major. Like, I think that's complimentary of St. Thomas.
You're absolutely right.
They were Division III the year before, right? I think before he got there, they were D3.
I don't know, but
I think.
And it's, does he play? How's his game going to translate? There's so many transfers right now, right? Just in around college basketball, it's amazing how many transfers there are. I'll make the quick point that my middle son Kobe goes to Delaware. There's not one freshman, not one. So, John Abbott with a great question: is Blake can play 20 plus minutes?
No.
You're absolutely right. Thank you for making it for confirming that.
Well, I mean, I think Blake, in terms of size, has a chance to really take that five position, though, and get a good chunk of the minutes. Like, you look down the roster, I mean, in terms of our front court, right? Like, Blake's probably going to have to play quite a bit. If he's serviceable down there on that hedge, and we'll I imagine he's going to play a lot.
That's hard. 20 minutes.
I'll split the baby on that one. I don't think he starts off playing 20 minutes, but by midway through the year, I think he's playing 20 minutes.
Wow. All right.
So T-Dubs, where's the offense come from?
I mean, I'm expecting the majority of it is Reese, iMac, and Ryan Dunn, right? Like, those are the three that are – to me, seem like they're going to be, you know, 60-70% of our scoring, and then we're going to have scattered, you know, guys chipping in 10-12 points every once in a while. But it seems like those three are, you know, based on their experience, are going to be required to be consistent if we're going to be good. Those, I'm expecting, you know, a lot of double-digit scores out of those nights from those guys.
Dougie, what are you hearing about Ryan Dunn's offense, and what are you hearing about the team defense in general?
What I'm hearing about Ryan Dunn, in my mind, is forget about shooting threes and catch the basketball and take one or two dribbles and rise up. So this whole culture of, like, I'm 6'9", we've all stood next to Ryan Dunn. Bro, it's impressive. Do you agree? It's surprising and impressive. He doesn't need to be a three-point specialist like the Knox kid from Kentucky, who whatever. If Ryan catches on the wing, he can take one good dribble. So Ryan Dunn needs to work on dribbling and passing, and I've heard he's done that. I do not expect him – I don't think he needs to be a big-time scorer. I think he's got to do things right. What was the question? You got me really focused because I have a really, really big opinion. I loved him. He averaged 2.5 points a game last year and 2.6 rebounds off the top of my head. Ryan to think Dunn. That turns into 10 and 8? Yeah, do it, TW.
Go ahead, TW.
What do you mean? What did he average last year? Yeah,
2.4 and 2.6.
Yeah, 2.6 and three boards.
So, all right, sorry for being right again. Anyhow.
The question was, what are you feeling from the coaches?
Right.
Not in Dougie's mind, which we know.
Yeah, sorry.
Right? Sorry. What are you hearing from the coaches about his offense, and what are you hearing about the defense on the whole?
The team defense?
Yeah.
I think we're pretty comfortable. There's guys – there's new guys that have to learn things and newcomers, and that's tough, right?
Well, the question is, are you hearing that guys are making quick adjustments, or are they taking a little bit longer than last year?
Oh, I don't hear anything from the coaches. I have my own opinions. I won't ask, and they wouldn't tell anyway, so it doesn't matter. I have no insight there. I won't even ask. Like, that's, you know, me and Jason Williford and Chris Havlicek and all you guys are friends.
Yeah,
you know, right. Jason likes to ask me and Hav and TW about stock tips, but I will never ask him about his job. outside of him getting off his ass and making an MFing offer to Elijah Gertrude, I've never said one thing to Jason.
I think the Sorry.
The show is going great for a while, Mark. You're doing a fine job.
No, I think
no, but I don't know. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I've heard whispers from people who have seen practice that have said that the offense is a little further ahead than the defense. Take that for what it's worth. I have no idea what that is, what that even means. Knowing how we are, that's probably a good thing, right? Like but Pepsi blue white scrimmage, everyone's like, hey, no one can shoot, we can't score. I'm like, okay, so
right.
I don't know what to think. Maybe we'll go right back to the normal, which is solid defense, shaky offense. I don't know.
T Dubs, first of all, I want to recognize John's saying that Leon Bond expectation this year. But T Dubs, this group of talent, right, and the length and the size and the athleticism, it's been a while, right, since they've had this type of, and had quite earlier said we've got a bunch of long, good wings.
Yeah.
Right. What does this team remind you of anybody recently or the last 5 years or 10 years?
I mean, Ryan Dunn has a Keel Mitchell vibes. His senior year, I mean, that's kind of who I think of in terms of, and maybe not defensively, but in terms of like length and style and rebounding and hustle, that's kind of who I think about. But now that you're right, there hasn't been a year like this that I can remember where there's so many question marks outside of like when TV first started, right? Like this is, it's been a decade since we haven't had TV, so. Just no Kihei alone is already strange. This is a changing of the guard.
As I'm kicking it to you to get your opinion on and to lead this segment, what are your thoughts about who's going to be the best player on the team? Who's going to be the most improved? Who's going to be the best?
So we did. We do a little thing like kind of like high school, like superlatives. Most likely to succeed this year, I think everyone's going to say Reese, but I'm going to take him off the table. So I'll throw it to Josh. Josh, who is most likely to succeed this year on our team?
It depends on how you want to define success. I mean, I feel like the clear choice would be to say Ryan Dunn, because like you were hitting on a minute ago, you know, if a guy goes from scoring 2.4 to being a lottery pick, he had to be pretty successful this year.
Okay, I like that. Dougie, most improved player this year. Who's going to just open our eyes like, wow, he was pretty good last year, but now he's a real contributor and has entered the conversation for one of our better players?
But they had to have played last year, obviously, right?
Yes.
I mean, it can't be Dante. Most improved? That's a great question because nobody played last year. I'm going to say Ryan Dunn.
Well,
Nick, I think it's going to be unfairly exactly what we expect, which will be a great step up, but it's not going to be like, oh, wow, he improved so much. I was going to say McNeely, number 11, as you know. I think you're going to see different. I think Ryan's he's a mature dude. We all know him and his parents. And he's going to work on his dribbling. He's not going to like try to shoot a million threes. He's going to do stuff, and we're going to be like, that dude improved.
All right, Mark.
From 2.4 points to 7.4 points. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm going to come to Mark. Who is going to be our newcomer of the year? New face, hasn't played at UVA. Who's the newcomer of the year?
I think we've got a comment from George Anderson who's saying that the board's good. Have you seen that, Dougie?
On the phone? What did he say? I can't read it.
He's saying that Rhodey is a pro.
George? Maybe. I don't know. What's a pro? Ty Jerome's a pro. Let me know if Rhodey's like Ty.
Well, NBA, does he, when he says pro, is he talking NBA?
Nah, we're talking NBA.
Right.
You know, I'm sorry. It's unfair. Mark, it's your son. But I hear people say Ty Jerome, and I do it too. It's just like, come on, man. Anyhow, go ahead. Let's move on.
All right, newcomer of the year, Markey. That's where we are.
Now, does that include redshirt guys too?
Yeah, you can't have played in a game for UVA. So
Dante's a redshirt, yeah.
Yeah.
I almost like John. John, I agree with John because, you know, the guys who have redshirted last year, learned the system, learned the pack line, learned the offense, have an advantage, right, for actual newcomers. Right, they've been around. So I'm going to go, if I'm forced to pick one, I'm going to say Leon Brock.
Oh, nice.
That's a good one. All right, T-Dub, I'm coming to you on this last one here. You know, Reese has been around for 3 years. He started for 3 years. Are we, and he's a career 7.7 points per game guy, great defensive player. Are we going to see a big jump from him where he enters the discussion for like a legitimate NBA player and not like a fringe guy? Is he going to make that leap this year where he averages 15?
Oh man, that's the real question. That's the question I really have on this season, right? Like, how good? Fresh loves Reese. I love Reese. Can he step up and do it? I'm going to say yes. For us to be successful this year, it has to be him. Like, he's got to be the guy.
Yeah. Right?
Like, we saw it early last season. You know, a couple of games here and there, but can he keep it up? Like, there's no Kihei for him to sort of like use as a crutch. It's got to come from Reese. So I'm gonna say yes. Like, he went to the NBA camps. I heard he did pretty well there, but he's motivated, right? He came back. I'd like to see it. I'm gonna say yes. He's gonna be the guy this year.
Yeah, and Reese, there's like no excuses this year for Reese. Meaning before it was, oh, it's Kihei's team, and was hesitant to give the keys to Kihei, and then he kind of got him. Nope. He gave him back. Fresh, I got to ask you about Reese. What do you think of this year for him, and where do you see him in the NBA draft?
I think Reese, and I'm thinking back to what you guys just said, I think so many things have happened for him. NBA Combine, Kihei gone. I think there's things for Reese that he doesn't even understand that happened, if that makes sense. And I think it's going to make him much better. He's not injured, I assume. He was playing so well, like November, December last year, got hurt, the Houston game, the whole thing. I think he's going to have a great year. I'm not sure how that translates for our team at this point because of the pieces around him. I think he's going to be a second-round pick next year. I don't see first round vis-a-vis shooting, you know, like that stuff. But I think somebody's the right team. We always go back to it, right? Like San Antonio Spurs. Oh, my gosh. He'll fit in so well. Somebody like that. I think the right team will pick him in the second round early.
All right. And I got one more, Markey.
Let me ask that. Dougie, if he gets to next to the team, what are your chances of getting tickets?
Zero. None.
That's your guy, Dougie.
I think I have a cell number. I text him once and nothing bad.
All right, that's I'm ready for you.
Yeah, so we've gotten, you know, along around the perimeter,
Reese.
We've gotten a lot longer. And I know our friend Dave the Wave always talks about it's going to be nice having long players. The place we've gotten smaller is in the front court with, you know, with Poppy leaving and Caden leaving. We now have a couple unproven guys. How is the front court going to do for us this year?
Well, we maybe aren't as, I guess, wide, but we're also, from what I understand, we may be a little bit more strong, right? And we may be a little more athletic. And I think that that's the transfer.
Well, let's mute Fresh, because I can't, we're having trouble hearing.
I got it.
Here we go.
Well, I don't think we're as beefy, right? But I think we might be more skilled. We may be more athletic, which is going to help tremendously. We may be a little bit, the length certainly is going to help. And with the skill level, and we actually could we may have the opportunity to have to score around the basket a little bit more this year, which is going to be incredibly helpful and open some lanes up and open some perimeter shots up. But also with transfers, I mean, you Blake Buchanan coming in as a first year, and but guys who have transferred in while they're new, they at least have some experience, right? So you're not just getting a lot of true first years, which is, but the problem with that is no one is around the country. There are very few first years. So I like the potential with the front court.
It's a good question here by WFS. Are we going to see Reese and a little tiny fast point guard again? T-Dub?
I mean, I think we got accustomed to it. Yeah, like there are going to be moments where we just need a fast point guard on the defensive end. And my guess is, yeah, we're going to see both of those guys playing, and we're gonna lean on defense over offense. We'll see what happens, but my guess is, yeah, we'll see it. We'll see a lot of that.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, you know, our coach Tony Bennett loves that, and I think Dante is gonna put his mark on a lot of games early, especially, and TB falls in love with it. So it might be to get used to it.
All right, let's keep it going, Marky. You're up on the
When did we win it? 2019, 2018, 2019? During the beginning of that season, after the first game, a bunch of us are out. DeAndre and Ty, and I forget who else, they're all talking about who's going to, and we start to go to some restaurant, I don't know, Wild Wings or one of those places. And we just put on a Duke Kentucky game, and I think Duke beat the pants off Kentucky like 30. And they're all talking about that was Cam Reddish, that was Zion, and that was RJ Barrett. And they're talking about, well, who's going to guard who? Who's going to guard RJ? Who's going to guard Cam? Who's going to guard Zion? And Duke's good this year. Yeah. Duke has a lot of talent.
Yeah.
A lot of talent. And what happens this year? And are guys that we – I hope guys aren't – right now, I'm sure everybody's searching for Duke game, right? You're a parent. I mean, one of the first things that happened to me, I looked up that Ty Zion when the schedule came out. Went right to the schedule and looked up when is UVA play Duke.
Yeah.
And I think that you know, the guys are gonna be excited about it. Duke's not the only team in the ACC, but they're very good. They've got some good players coming back, right? And so they've got some big guards too. Jeremy Roach is not that big, but Tyrese Cox is a big guard. And then who's gonna deal with Filipowski? Who's gonna handle it? If you're talking about two smaller guards, Reese and Dante Harris, how do they defend you? Right. Again, I maybe punching myself a little bit, going too far down the road, but you kind of have to look at it. Like, you can't ignore it. And everybody's excited. Right? How about that? You were going to answer that question, but how do you, Dougie or TW or Habs or Josh, step in, please. I mean,
it's a question about Duke.
How do you defend those big guards with small, two smaller guards are playing?
I'm not so sure the guard spot size matters that much. Am I wrong?
Yeah. I'm going to disagree
with okay. You. All right, I'm wrong. It depends on how far out people are, how close they are. Like if you're getting posted up, it's different, but
well,
I used to love the guard, taller guards way more than shorter guards. I'm talking about me. Well, and you can get under them.
Yeah, Dougie, let me rephrase that. You're not completely wrong, and it depends on the player, right? So I don't think there's
yeah.
a formula in one paradigm for everybody. But last year we struggled, right, in the tournament against Duke. And their guards were big and very
effective. Yeah.
And Filipowski as well.
Well, we were tired that game. We handled Duke at home. Me and you and TW were there in like the third row, whatever.
Yeah.
Outside of the first 8-12 minutes, we handled them. So it's not that you can't do it. But I'll say Duke is formidable. Is that right? Is that the word? Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a good word. And I think Shire's changed things a little bit, and he's not afraid to take guys that we discovered, TJ Power and the kid Khan from Wisconsin. He offers them and gives them because they'll be there for a longer time. That's smart by him. I think Duke sadly might be building something different than it was the last sort of 10 years of Coach K.
Question from John Abbott. Do we think playing four out and one is the best way to play, especially if someone like Dunn can develop into a point forward?
That's a good question. I think, you know, in this era of positionless basketball, which is kind of what we have this year, it's a great way to space the floor and get shots.
Yeah.
So I do think it'll continue, but you know, we've got to make those shots and our bigs, just because, you know, I don't necessarily care that much if my, you know, a big can shoot threes. I want him getting rebounds, blocking shots, and I think Tony does too. So I can see us playing a lot of four out, but I do want to see us get some easy buckets down low, like throw it into a guy and have him shoot a baby hook. Like, we never do that. And it's really a disadvantage when all of your points are coming off of transition and kind of spectacular plays by a wing player. Well, I didn't see that one.
And that's where I say our front court may be improved this year, because we may have that potential to have some local scores, which would be a key. Obviously, I'm sharing the obvious, but anytime you get some inside scoring, which we've missed over the last couple of years, and I don't think we've ever had that since, correct me if I'm wrong, Dubs, since Anthony Gill.
Yeah. Oh, totally. I mean, I think for me, the question mark I had last year, which was really games on the line, who steps up, you know, like who is going to take the shot, who is going to, you know, quote unquote, be the man, and really didn't get a good answer last year. I think I'm hoping this year it's Reese, it's iMac, it's one of those guys that, you know, and games on and crunch time, you need a bucket. Who are you going to, especially come tournament time? That's just what happens, right? It just usually comes down to that. Like, hand the ball to a guy, and he's got to go get us. He's got to go create a basket or get fouled. Do we have someone that can do that this year? Is it Reese? Is it iMac? Is it, who is it? Like, that's the real question mark I have.
Hey, Mark, I have a question for you. So you're close to the, you know, you're in high school basketball and AAU, and you're closer to the recruiting process than anybody else here. How much of a disadvantage is it on the, you know, as we're talking to these kids, that we score so that we play at a slow pace, we don't score a lot, and you're a 30-point scorer in high school, and other coaches are telling you if you go to Virginia, you're going to shoot like read us five, maybe six times a game?
I think it's a great question to have. And it's every – sorry, my little guy's kind of decided to play the harmonica now. So the you know, it's up to each kid, right? It's up to each individual person, each individual family, and how much they're going to listen to that. So that's the quick answer.
Okay. All right, T-Dub, we want to get into, let's get into like what are expectations this year. Let's get into, are we a tournament team? Are we going to miss? Or are we going to have early first round exit like a Furman? Or are we going to take it deep? We'll go around the horn. Fresh, you can start with that one.
I'll start with it. So as you guys know, the past four seasons we've done it, I've said we win it. I don't think we win the ACC this year. I think we sneak into the NCAA tournament and make way and make noise.
All right.
And I think our ceiling is Sweet 16. Depending on how it all, you know, it's these days, it depends on how it all works out, the whole thing. I don't see a Elite Eight type team. But it's going to be – it's 100% going to be a work in progress. I think it's going to be, like, struggles early. ACC could be rough. We have a lot of we have a lot of losable games as opposed to winnable, if that makes sense, this year.
Agreed.
And we don't have any answers early that any of us can judge it on. So I think we'll be 4 or 5 in the ACC. Horrible for me to say because I always pick us first, and I've been right every time, and I don't want to be right this time, but let's see.
Josh, what do you think?
Yeah, I think early on that A&M game, kind of going back to ones, you know, big games you're looking at, that's one I kind of have circled to see how they do. Pretty big litmus test early in the season. New SEC challenge, and we're playing a team that's, I think they were picked number 2 for the SEC for the preseason, have the preseason conference player of the year. So, you know, that'll be a good upfront test. I do like how the ACC schedule sets up, only playing the other top 3 teams once, 2 at home, 1 on the road, all in February. I think that kind of gives us a better chance at, you know, maybe ending up in a better seating. Dougie, you're pretty close. I mean, they had the preseason poll come out this afternoon. They had UVA picked 4, so 4 or 5 isn't unreasonable. I think I would go with probably 3 is where I would have us now. I think Duke is just such a deep team. Like, you know, everybody hates to pick Duke, but at the same time, you have to respect what they have this year. I mean, it's a 5-star, basically 10 deep on that team now. They're insanely loaded. So I think from there, you know, the ACC tournament kind of is what it is. It's a fun weekend, but maybe not the biggest goal to win. Hopefully, you know, get a good showing, make a little run to it. And then I think you're probably about right, Dougie. A Sweet 16 would be a good team. I think our seed will probably be a little higher. I'm expecting like a 4 or 5 seed, but Sweet 16 is probably a pretty good goal, yeah.
T-Dub?
I think we're going to be a bubble team. I'm thinking on the right side of the bubble, and I'm thinking what Fresh was thinking. And then in the tournament, like, I think, you know, we can get one. Like, I'd be happy with one win. Like, if I'm being totally honest, get one, get into Sweet 16 would be incredible. Get to the second weekend would be just awesome. But like that, for me, that's kind of what I'm thinking. Like, bubble, top 25 borderline all year. That, you know, I think we'll have some rough patches here and there, but then I think we'll kind of put it together and then hopefully make a run. That would be awesome, but we'll, my guess, one win in the tournament, and I'd be happy.
All right, Marky, thoughts?
So it's a really unique year in that it's a senior-led team with one senior-led guy. One senior, right? And then you've got a little experience with Dante Harris, who's a transfer. But there's a lot of newcomers, a lot of new faces, and you've got some experience with McNeely. How does that team, how quickly can this team improve? How quickly can this team learn the back line? How quickly can they learn the offensive set? Who's going to be the scorers? Who's going to be shooting well from the outside? I think, again, what makes this team unique is the length. And the size and the athleticism, right? Which, so defensively, maybe very, very good. Are we going to get some offense in different ways this year? You know, you and Dougie always talk about being able to run. Does this team run this year? Does the team be adjust a little bit? I think those are all questions that have to be figured out. But we know if he's going to stick with the size offense, block him over, we have to have shooters. Who's going to step up and be that shooter? But are we going to get more offensive rebounds this year than we've ever had? Right? And I think the answer to that question is yes. I think it's an athletic team. I think it's a long team. So I think we're going to do something. We're going to do well against teams, at least as they get better. Right? Maybe we'll struggle in the first couple of games. That Florida game is going to be tough because it's early. But you still have Reese, who's a really good player. You still have McNeely, who's got some experience, and Ryan Dunn. Florida's going to be good. But any early tough games are going to be tough for us. I guess that's a little bit redundant. But they're going to be learning curves. They're going to be opportunities for guys to learn and get a lot of experience. So I think by midway, we're going to be much better. We're going to be a lot better by midway and toward the end of the season. So I like us going into the tournament, into the ACC tournament late. I like our chances. I think we're going to be much improved. And I like us to make the tournament, the national tournament, of course. And I think we have an opportunity to get 1 or 2 games. And I think we're still so young, and I don't know if we have a superstar, But I will also say, I will also say that college basketball is not great right now. Right? So I think we can, what are we basing this on? Are we basing this on other teams, or are we basing this on our past? We're basing on other teams. I just don't know how good the other teams are right now. Right? Duke is good. Duke has a lot of talent, and they've got some experience. And they're big, and they've got a lot, and they've got guys who are pros. We know that. Outside, and Carolina is always going to be a good game, and they're talented. I don't know about the rest of the ACC, and I don't know about the rest of the country, right? So I think without someone being like such, there'd be so many juggernauts out there. I think we've got a good shot.
Yeah, my take is this is going to be a year full of nausea, indigestion, gas pain. It's going to be hard to, there's going to be a lot of close games, but the good news for us, yes, we have a lot of new faces, but so do a lot of other teams. There aren't teams that are returning, or not a lot of teams that are returning a lot of players. Our challenge is going to be similar to a lot of the people we're playing. So we won't be unique in that realm. I think we make the tournament, but I think it's going to be close, and I'm looking for us for a run. I think we head into the ACC tournament needing a couple wins, and I think we get them. I think we'll be playing well at the end of the year, and then hopefully that translates into a couple wins in the tourney. But
yeah,
no, I agree. I think it's going to be a fun team, man. Win, lose, or draw, it's going to be a lot of buy-in, a lot of old-fashioned hustle, and you know, play hard, and like I think they like each other, which is important, and we've not always known if that's true or not. So I'm excited to see it.
All right, let's go to Fresh. We posted some questions, right?
Yep.
We have some questions.
You have the forum questions up?
Yeah. I've got them here. Here's
all right, good job, T-Dubs.
Oh, Dave the Wave, I know Fresh mentioned this earlier. He wanted us to talk about, give examples of guys who killed it in practice but not in games, and then vice versa. Who were there players that were not great in practice but were great in games? Do you guys have experience with that?
I could tell you, John Crotty was unreal in practice every day. Brian Stith was unreal in practice every day. They played in the NBA. Maybe Cornell Parker was more of a game player than a practice player. You're better than me at this.
Well, I'll take the other side of it. The guy who was not very good in practice and then had an iconic performance in the ACC tournament, and Fresh, you were gone at this point, but was Jamal.
Okay.
Jamal had that unbelievable ACC tournament, and you know, a month before that, you know, was not performing at a high level. So that was somebody who had, you know, some incredible moments, but was definitely better in the games. You know, I think there are a lot of people who have moments during the year during practice. Fresh had them. I had them. Like, everyone can get hot and play well for a stretch in practice. And I've said this before. One of my roles as a reserve player was to oftentimes mimic the great player that we were going to be playing against. And I found out I was much better as that person than I was as myself. There are moments, the scout team, what do they call them, the green team? Like, there are guys that are lighting it up and frustrating the first team. We would beat the first team a lot of times in our practice scrimmages. So, but I can't think of somebody who just, you know,
you were a great hybrid of Roddy Monroe and Tom Gugliotta somehow.
Yes. In fact, my dog, I have two dogs here. I have Rodney and Tom, but no, it's a hard thing to go from, you know, playing well in practice and not and then not really getting a chance. My guess, someone on the team right now who does that, who has moments, is Tane. He's a big kid. He,
yep,
you know, can shoot. I'm sure he lights it up on green teams sometimes. And just hasn't really gotten in that much and hasn't really taken off. But maybe that changes this year. The kid works hard by all accounts.
What about for you, Mark? As you've been coaching all these years, do you see that a lot? Kids that are either quote-unquote practice players? No,
for me, to get playing time, you have to play hard. Right? But where I've evolved as a coach, I think, and where I've made adjustments, is trying to give more guys confidence. And Cav, I think that's some of what you're talking about.
Yeah. Right?
When you have confidence and you have that green light, not a lot of pressure on you. If you miss, you know, you get another shot at it. You get another crack on it. If you're on the green team, if you're playing really well and coaches start feeding you the ball and say, go get up, you're doing great, keep it up. Right? Mentally and emotionally, you become a different player. Confidence, yeah, makes a difference, right? And encouragement.
That's a good point. Absolutely.
But for me, I think you got to be able to play hard in practice. I can't do the Allen Iverson and watch a kid like skate through practice and lollygag. And I it's such a struggle for me to be able to allow that.
What about harmonica playing, Hav? I assume Hav has a harmonica somewhere in his back pocket, and he's like can compete with the
alien. I actually played travel harmonica for one of the best teams in the country.
There's no secret there.
Yeah.
Terrible practice harmonica player, by the way.
Not so good, but I really brought it.
When the lights came on and you were on stage with the Philharmonica players, you were good. I remember that.
Very, very good. All right, T-Dub, give us another form.
Next question from AQ. What's harder to adjust to for newcomers playing under TB? The effort required on D, or learning and executing the rotations and screens?
I love this question.
I don't know how we answer that as people who have never played for TB, but maybe Mark, you're the best. Like, you've heard from Ty.
Great question. Go ahead.
I think all the above, but I think there's an expectation that you better play hard. Otherwise, you're going to, he doesn't curse at the L too often, but you got to bring it. You got to bring it every day, right? And you're going to play if you show you're succeeding in practice. You're going to get a shot based on what I've heard and what I've seen, right? And so, if once again, though, TV's, it gives you some confidence, just like everybody else. You start feeling better. You start feeling more comfortable. You start playing better D, right? But you've got to be able to adjust, and you got to be able to learn that system. Right, so I think McNeely, who's a guy that played some pack line in high school, had an advantage. Right, I taught Ty how to play a similar defense from the time he was 5 or 6 years old. Had an advantage. We know he's not the greatest athlete, but to be able to understand it and be able to make that a quicker adjustment can help you get you on the court.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Next,
I would say, if you came from a program like Mark's saying, the way I came up in a program playing man-to-man defense, the positioning and all that stuff's not very hard. The effort changes not because you never put forth effort; it's because of who you're guarding.
Yeah.
Like, all right, you know, Ty Jerome's at Iona Prep playing against whoever. And probably really good players, probably college players, whatever.
Yeah.
But you can like let a guy shoot. He's not going to drive on you. But when you go to college, hey, man, it's all different. And so you think you're giving effort. You think you're working hard. You might not be. That, to me, is the harder part from a player who came from a fundamental background like me, have probably did too. I'm sure Josh played hard hedge all life in the cafeteria, the whole thing. So I get it.
All right. Next question from unknown. I don't know. For IMAC, this is in regards to IMAC and Dunn this season. Do you think their improvement is the biggest determinant for the team's success? What factors are the key for for this year? Well, who wants to take that one? Have you want to take that one? Is it iMac and Dunn? Is the season depend on their improvements?
Yeah, I mean, look, we don't have a lot of points coming back, right? So someone has to score. They're the obvious choices. They play a position where they're expected to score. So that's going to be key for us. And I'd expand it to, you know, someone in that group is going to separate themselves from the core. And, you know, of the four or five guys that are going to, there's going to be someone who starts scoring, you know, 13, 14, 15 points a game. And my guess is it's one of those two.
Yeah. Mark, what do you think?
I think those guys are going to pretty much be staples.
Yeah.
Right. I think they're going to provide a lot. They're going to have rain. They're going to have opportunities. So those guys, especially Ryan, you know, he's going to play great defense. He's probably going to score somewhere between 8 to 12 points a game. I think, you know, in the past, we've had some starters where the success is hinged on the starters and what they've done and what they've been able to provide. I think it's going to be whoever emerges besides the three of those guys, right, and how well they perform. There's got to be one or two other guys who perform really well. And that's saying that McNeely's going to score 15 points a game. He's going to have some off nights. So when he does have those off nights, are Ryan Dunn and Dougie's guy, Reese, are they going to be able to have great games? Right? And who else is going to step up? Is it going to be Leon? Is it going to be Ken? Is it going to be Rhodey? Right. So whoever's going to emerge, I think it's going to be the key. It's one or two guys.
Yeah, we bring back, I just looked, we're bringing back about 16 points a game, which is not a lot.
There's Jim.
There she is.
JC.
Jen, what's up?
Thank you for joining, Jen. We missed you. Yeah, I think.
You said 16 points a game we're bringing back?
Yeah, I mean, roughly. That's look, Armin led all scorers with 12. Jaden had 12. Kihei had 11-ish. Reese comes back at 9, 9.5. We have a little bit more than that. You're right. Well, it's like 17 or 18. But that's not a lot. So you don't see a whole lot of like 25, 21 games. So we need people to start scoring. And I think it'll be those two.
Yeah, they'll find it.
Here's a question. If you have a different guy stepping up every night, is that a good thing or bad thing? Like, it's one of those things, like, if you don't have a guy, like the guy, and you're kind of doing it by committee, then you don't have a guy. Is that one way to look at it? Like, or is it a good thing? Anybody can step up. We're hard to scout. Like, what is your take on that, Mark?
I think it can be great, and it can be showing consistency.
Yeah.
I think it could be great because the opposing team may not know how to scout it.
Yeah.
And also it's going to give somebody chances and confidence for down the road, later in the year. Right. So the more guys you have that can contribute, hopefully it's at least two or three guys. By the time February, March comes around, everybody's feeling pretty good. Everybody knows that they're capable and hopefully they're confident that they can score 8 to 10 points a game.
And then the final part of this question is, and this is obviously off topic, what habit or personality trait or quirk of yours does your spouse or kids make fun of the most? You want to start? You want to start fresh? Fresh? You want to start there?
Me? So my forget my older kids. They're 23 and 20. They make fun of me for having no ability in technology.
Well, we all do.
So I'm trying. I know, but I'm trying to start an LRA podcast. I'm like, Kyle, my 20-year-old, I can't effing do this Zoom. And he presses a button and walks away and laughs at me, right? So my twin 8-year-olds, who are semi-famous on the podcast, Ty and Camila, they call me Tyrone. which is funny. Like, oh, Tyrone, you know, you'll be okay today, Tyrone. Their quirk of me is I cannot physically run. Like, that's all right. I'm not sure how to answer this question anymore. Thanks for the question, homeboy, girl. That shit hurts at this point. I'm kidding. It's actually a great question.
How about Josh?
I can think about it.
Josh, you want to jump on that one?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of hate to steal Doug's answer, but I kind of went through the same thing trying to figure this out. I actually texted Doug at like 6 o'clock and was like, hey, is this going to be on Zoom? Not just for knowledge, but so I could practice how to do a Zoom. I don't really get into, you know, the technology as much. I mean, it's all around me, but
just for the record, new Josh is not my son. Good try, Josh.
No, my wife was giving me a real fit about it before I got on. I think she called me a grandpa about 3 times trying to figure it out. So
yeah, it makes sense.
Have.
Well, before we get to that, I just want to say that there's a good chance that Josh has killed the deer with his bare hands at some point in his life.
Farthest thing okay. from it, no.
I think it's happened. Look, I get made fun of all the time, but I actually try to get made fun of. As one of the best dancers in the state of Florida, I get busted on for intentionally dancing badly and singing poorly. It cracks my kids up, so that's what I do.
T-Dubs, I'm so curious to hear this answer from you.
Yes, me too.
For me? I mean, for me, it's the not pushing in my... pushing in my seat. Always. They always yell at me for not pushing in my seat after I get up from dinner. And we have stools, so they kind of like in the way, but like I'm always getting up doing stuff and they just always yelling at me for not pushing in the seat. I'm like, who cares? Like, I don't like the seat. I'm going to sit back down in a minute. But like, I probably hear that 5 times a
day. That's good.
I'm like literally not... I'm not getting up that many times for them to be yelling at me for that, but now
that's as quirky as it gets right there. That's true. You know, I can't wait till next time we're out. T-Dubs, push your seat in, bro.
And you push it. I don't know. It just never occurred to me. I guess I'm just a slob. I don't know. I don't push in my seat when I'm getting up to do something really quickly. Anyway, what about you, Mark?
Oh man, where do I begin? The list is so long. I'm trying to think each child. Which, you know, this could be a
you have a different answer from me, child.
Long list, right? I had dinner with Ty the other night. I don't think he made fun of me. I don't think he did. But I'm sure, like, the Ty and Kobe crack up at me all the time, I'm sure. I don't get people's names right, so they laugh at that. I still don't know Kobe's coach's name at Delaware. Or Oglesby, something like that. He played at Notre Dame.
I can answer one for you, Mark, that I hear them joke about.
Go ahead.
You talking to strangers too much. They always give you a hard time. Anytime we go anywhere, they're like, uh-oh. It goes bad again, talking to like some random person for 20 minutes.
That might be mine as well for my little kids. Like, yo, dad, why you talk to everybody?
Yeah.
But that's also a generational thing, right? Now kids are on their phones.
They don't
get it. Communication. Right, I love talking to people in the street wherever I am to bump into somebody. I think that's just as important as going to work unless you have an important meeting.
Right? I mean, saying hi to people like walking by and stuff in my neighborhood, they also think that's so weird. I'm like the only person that does that. Like, why do you do that? Like, you don't know that person. I'm like, that's what you do. Like, you say hi to your neighbors. Like, we'll have to. But anyway, I think you're right. It's a generational thing. Like, now kids just heads down. I don't need to talk to people, especially during COVID. They've kind of learned to stay away from people, but I'm just like, hey. Anyway. All right.
I like that question. That's cool.
We'll do.
T-Dub, don't you have a giveaway too?
Yes, we have a giveaway. We'll do it on the forum. How about this? Anyone who wants. We have really good seats, lower bowl, lower of the lower bowl seats for the home opener against Tarleton State. If you want to claim those, first person to do it in the post your LRA podcast questions here in that thread. We'll give you the tickets and I'll DM you. So there's a post in our forum. If you go in there and comment and you're the first one to do it, tickets are yours. We'll make it easy. But final prediction
Savage.
For the season. You want to go around the room in that, Mark?
Let's do it. I'm going to say, I don't even know how many games we're going to play though.
How about prediction in terms of not win total, but like where we finish in the ACC? How about that?
I'm really not equipped because I have not studied the other teams. But I mean, we're almost always going to be successful because of the system, and we're going to improve every year because of the coaching staff. We're going to improve every year because we have talented players. So I'm going to go top four. I'm going to say three.
Have?
Yeah, I'll say four. I think that's where we picked. We talked about it. I'll say four just to be right down the middle.
Fresh?
That's my guy asking the question. I'm not even sure what the question means, but I will say if we play Furman this year, we beat them.
Okay.
I like it.
No, I said it before. I think we're going to be five in the ACC, and I've never not been number one, and I've been right every time. I don't want to be right. Let's put it that way. But I think we win a game NCAA tournament and sneak our way in. So it's going to be fun, man.
What do you think, Josh?
I'm going to stick to third. I'll say I think on the last Saturday of the season, we're all still checking other game scores just to kind of see maybe there's an outside chance that we could sneak into the one seed or get a share. You know, they get a banner for a share too. So still a good year. And yeah, I still think Sweet 16 second weekend will be a pretty big success.
I like it. I'm with you. I think four, maybe three, and then getting in that tournament, that'd be awesome.
John, prediction.
Yeah, I loved it. We'd love to hear. Put your predictions in the comments here. Kevin said he gets yelled at for waking up. Shout out, Kevin. Ryan's and Rogers.
Yeah.
Looking forward.
What up?
Ryan's and Rogers. We'll probably do a show from there again. If you guys haven't checked it out, right there in Charlottesville, check it out. Jen said two or three. So.
I love it, Jen.
I think that's it. Anything else on our rundown, Mark?
No, have. Thank you for organizing this tonight. It was awesome.
To get back in the rhythm. Appreciate
it. Yeah, we're back.
Yeah. Exciting. I've been waiting for basketball season. I'm like so bored with, I mean, I'm not a big football fan, so I'll watch here and there, but like that, you know, the last couple nights with the NBA coming back on is exciting. Ty got 100% for the season. I'll leave it at that.
We're only a week and a half away from the season starting?
Yeah.
11 days.
11 days and counting.
11 days. So we have
my number, I mean Isaac's number.
Well, I'll be there at the Charlotte game, so I'm going to fly to that game. We'll figure it out from there. I think a bunch of us are going to try to go. Fresh. I don't know if you can.
Yeah, we'll talk. We got to talk about that one. Yeah. What date is it? November 12th? 11th?
The 10th. It's a Friday.
That same thing. Okay. Yep. Let's go.
Otherwise, appreciate you and everybody else joining. Anything else? Parting words, Mark?
Well, I'm looking forward to a great, exciting season. And you know, the games are great. We need to be remembered. We also need to remember, like, the relationships. I always feel so good about seeing you guys in the short season. Not because of, in addition to basketball, because of the friendships we've developed and the relationships we've developed, which is so valuable for me. You know, like, my kids make fun of me saying hello to everybody and talking to people and getting, and I want to know.
Yeah.
This has been such a great outlet and such a great opportunity to develop relationships with you guys. So we're looking forward to more of that this year.
No doubt. Every no matter what's going on during the day, the week, the whole thing, I'm like, LRA podcast, LRA pod, it, like we get excited, yeah. Right? And back again, missing Phony being part of it, maybe that draws us closer, which is another special part of his person.
Yeah, for sure, man. It is a part of us. I mean, I enjoy it thoroughly. This is a highlight of my day most of the time, so I appreciate you guys, and don't want to get corny in here, but for sure.
It's okay, though, to be corny and share love. We should be all happy about doing that. We don't have to be vulnerable, right? With basketball, and we all have done it. We've all brought us many, many great relationships, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Met what 19, what was that? When did you guys meet?
What's that?
What year did Dougie and Hav meet? What year did you guys meet?
89. No, we met in 85.
Oh, that's true.
When you got to really know each other in 89.
Yeah. I mean, teammates, roommates, the whole thing, 89.
30 plus years later, look at you guys. 35 years later.
Hey, man.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's it.
What a great game.
Yeah, totally. I mean, just as a, for me, just being a fan, I didn't play it at all. Just being a fan, I've traveled. I mean, I've seen most of the country just through basketball and met so many people. Like, it's incredible. Like, it's a huge, I mean, it is my life. It's a big chunk of my life, and it takes a big part of my brain. Like, it's just what I love. It's weird and strange, but like, if this is what it is. I'm blessed. Like, I think about it all the time. I'm so grateful with all the things happening in the world right now, right? Like, you look, watching you, all the things and what I love and what takes up my brain and what I care about, it's, you know, often feels kind of meaningless, but it means everything to me. Like, and I'm grateful for that.
I'm going to disagree with you and say it's not weird. It's not strange. It's great. And it's healthy and it's beautiful. And
it's a great place to find meaning, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what else is great? A little trivia. There's only two schools in NCAA history that have never won a national championship. One, one is Kansas State, and the other is Virginia Tech. That's what's great.
Love it.
We have. Should you count to three?
Have always delivers. Ain't no secret.
It was getting a little misty there. We had to bring it back to the fact. That fact.
Definitely, Kev. Rhymes and Rogers when Charlottesville gets engaged.
I'd like to make a point because he's making the point. The best part about going to a game in Charlottesville is Mark gets a hotel. Me and TW stay somewhere else, but me and TW go to Marky's Hotel's all-you-can-eat breakfast. Because yeah. Mark is always he's always 45 minutes late from the pickup time. Oh yeah, meet me at 8. All right, T-Dub, check this out. Let's go there at 8 and just raid his all-you-can-eat buffet. So he won't be there before 8:45, guaranteed. Three cups of coffee, have hash browns, sausage, all of it. The best part was by the end, I was welcoming guests and saying, how's your stay? Are you guys enjoying yourselves? Is your room clean? We were never checked.
I think the car was actually just running right in front of the completely made ourselves at home. The car is running right in front of the sliding door. Everybody says,
and to you guys' point, going back to 1989, I learned all that from Hav, because he would do that at 5-star restaurants. We would just like walk in. I'm like, Hav, we're like wearing warm ups. He's like, don't worry, watch this. How's your dinner? Can I get you a fork? Okay, thing. I'll take your steak. Good night.
We had some fun.
We have fun, man. Let's go.
All right.
Well, appreciate you guys. Have a good night.
Thanks for joining.
Peace out. I'm going to end now.